Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Classes in session. It's June, folks. Pencil busters out there, you know that. It's June, which means it's pretty much summer. Might as well be summer. Jacob's got the fan going. Jacob, chairman of the board, how you doing? And we got Tim with us too, so we'll go around the horn. Jacob, how are you doing?
Johnny, I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here talking with you. Another great edition of Busted Pencils. It's hotter than blazes in this studio room. These things don't just keep sound in, they also keep heat in. So that's not fun. And I was wondering, Johnny, do we have anybody who might be able to report from out on the road in this great country and tell us what's happening in middle America?
That's what I was wondering. In fact, we do. Tim, what's happening, my man? Can you report out from middle America on the road? No, there's a little technical difficulty. Middle America is not reporting out. We'll get back. We'll loop back around to that, Jacob. But you know what I always say?
Johnny, let me tell you one thing. That's staying in. So if you think I'm editing out Tim dropping out and losing internet in the middle of the countryside, not happening. That's part of the program.
This is absolutely part of the program. One, I'll make a joke. That would never happen in a socialist democracy. It certainly might happen in a form of communism or in a form of disaster capitalism. But Tim's in middle America. He's in transit. He's actually at a rest stop somewhere between, I'm going to guess he's in Ohio or Pennsylvania. That's a good guess because those are only two states he commutes through.
That's a very good guess.
Yeah, it's an educated guess, Jacob. But, you know, it's hot here too. But what I keep always reminding myself is it's not so much the temperatures, it's me. You're like me, Jacob. We run hot.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're passionate men, Johnny.
That's exactly right. We exude the high temperatures.
Yeah.
Like a heating element from within. Doesn't help that I'm also rocking a full fur coat between skin and shirt. So, Jacob, though, on Monday, man, we got into it. And so class in session, let's extrapolate a little bit to follow up on what we, you know, had opened a can of government worms on Monday. But, you know, you brought up the fact that sometimes when we talk about things like, you know, caring about the full wellness of not only students, but people in our community, like the fact that we might have things like, you know, access to healthcare or, you know, mental health services, especially through our public schools, them words start to sound a lot like communism. You know, there's an idea or a scare, you know, belief, and you tracked it back, Jacob, really eloquently to, you know, kind of Cold War era and remnants of that Cold War era. And, you know, we talked about, wait a minute, that's not communism. That's, you know, a function of democracy, a socialist influence on democracy, and that socialism isn't necessarily communism. And I thought, well, that could be a great class in session as like a pro tips on how to, you know, inoculate yourself, listener, from people who say, hey, isn't that communism? They say, no, in fact, that's actually a strong democracy. But I had made the comment, hey, we should check in with our resident Marxist, because pencil busters, I tease Tim all the time. I say, Tim, isn't that your domain, that Marxism stuff? You know, and we role play. We've LARPed in the past, some live action role play, the international debates. And I always assign Karl Marx to Tim, and I take on Mikhail Mikhail Bukhanin, you know, or the social Marxist or social anarchist. Man, I'm a mess today. And this distracted me. Our middle America guys throwing me off.
Yeah, I think Tim might be more of a Maoist now. He's out amongst the peasants in the fields right now organizing.
Oh, he's got his pin on.
Yeah, he's got his little red book.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Oh, no. But anyways, Jacob, we had landed on, come on, it's not communism to have a government that cares for people, that assumes responsibility for things like public health and public education. In fact, public health and public education are, in fact, signifiers of a strong democracy, especially to have access to those, you know, no matter who you are. It's not a function of only how much money you have, right? It does cost something. That's the whole tax system and the whole like idea of why we pay taxes and things like that, is to be able to have health services in different municipalities, right? Safe roads, little connection to where our guy Tim is, he's on the road. But, you know, those kinds of things, you know, airports, hospitals, infrastructure like that, you know, is a function of government serving its people. And somewhere along the line, we've gotten into these debates, political debates, that to care for people in your country, not that I say that a little tongue in cheek, to fund welfare, which not isn't just for the poor, it's for the well-being of everyone in our community, but it happens to include people who may be making less than we would say puts you above the poverty line, which is increasingly too many people in this country. But to care for all those people, right, in our country doesn't make our government socialist even or communist. In fact, it makes it a strong democracy. And we even talked about how those safety nets for our community actually strengthen our economy and save us money in the long run. So we're just stronger and more responsible being that way. Let's check in with our resident Marxist, though, from Middle America. Sounds like he's amongst truckers. He's driving again. Good Lord, Tim. No, he's not driving. People are driving behind him. But Tim, we got a question for you, you know, just off the cuff, because we don't know when we're going to lose you again. Jacob and I are wondering, you know, is it communist for a government to care about the well-being of the people in its country, specifically fund things like health, wellness, and mental wellness in our communities through our schools?
Communism, really? To care? Yeah, the whole idea of caring and communism, I've heard they go together quite well. But come on, Johnny. Resident Marxist, first of all, come on, man.
I told our listeners I like to tease you. I even told them we LARP sometimes, the international debates, and I always assign you Marx, and I take Bakunin, and that we replay the, you know, the international debates and things, and you're all about the dictatorship of the proletariat over there.
Can I be Trotsky?
No, Trotskyist. Hey, you got to go back and just say, it's just like, look, it's sad, though. What you're pointing out is that defending democracy like that, and guess what? Democracy does care about people. These are the things that you do together. You know, democracy doesn't mean your individual freedom to be a jerk. I mean, I guess it does, but, you know, to just do what you want with disregard for others. You know, we saw it during the pandemic, you know, where people are like, you know, too bad. I'm not going to do what public health says because, you know, I'm free. And in America, we're free. And no, you live in a democracy. And in a democracy, I mean, Johnny, we're going to have to do the Civics 101, where you're going to have to take people through what it means to live in a democracy again, because you know what? I mean, the reality is that if you're living in a democracy, you got a lot of responsibilities to take care of.
Well, that's good. That's perfectly teed up, Tim. I'll do what you just asked, and then I'm going to ask you another question. So Tim said, do we have to do Civics 101, a reminder of democracy? Well, you know, three aspects of democracy that kind of like give characteristic or definition to democracy is anytime we're making decisions together as a group, right? Let's talk about those as public decisions, whether they're in our families, on our neighborhood block, or in our, you know, voting districts or in our states, or even there we go. I'll extend that even at the federal level. What is the signifier of something being democratic is that one, everybody has a voice and that voice is valued. That's one like principle of democracy. It's a core principle. Is everybody has a voice and that voice is valued. Mm-hmm. Okay. Two is that everybody has a responsibility to participate in that decision-making process. You're active in it. So you have a voice, it's valued, and you have a responsibility, a duty, a civic responsibility to participate in the decision-making. And three, that all decisions we make are in the interest of the common good. So it's going to bring me back around to that, you know, that we deliberate on what constitutes common good. And I think, Jacob, what we were talking about on Monday in homeroom was that food for especially young learners,
yep,
healthy, nutritious food falls under that category of common good. You know, it's a wise investment for the future. It improves, you know, students' ability to be learners in schools. And you know, that's an investment on the future. That's strengthening our future local economies, whether you're capitalist or whether you're anti-capitalist. You know, I'd like to have a thoughtful conversation with anti-capitalists. I think there's some learning to be had in our differences. But Jacob, we talked about, we exist in a capitalist world. And there's a way to have both capitalism as an economic system and some, you know, regulation, you know, usually set out by governments that help us practice those three aspects. Everybody has a voice, that voice is valued. Second, everybody has a responsibility to participate. Three, that all decisions are made in the interest of the common good. And that brings us back to kind of that common good thing, right? And I think that's that tension. As soon as we start to talk about what's good for the whole group, it's in particular, especially over the last 30 to 50 years in gaining momentum in the 80s, Jacob brought up the Cold War, and I'll even kind of narrow it down to more like an era of Reaganomics, which can be a whole class and session of itself. But the rise of the fact that, hey, if anything is about caring for the common good and not set up as a competition of who gets it and who doesn't, well, then that's bad for the economy and bad for the country. And so government, by and large, from that perspective, should deregulate. In fact, make it anything goes, laissez-faire economics, in order to sort of open the free market. And it's like, I'm okay. Like, Jacob, we talked about capitalism, and I'm not on here saying all you capitalists out there, including, that would make me a hypocrite. I mean, here I am wearing a baseball cap that I bought from a company that manufactured it, right? For my favorite team, Detroit Tigers, go Tigers. Hey, but I'm saying I'm not a hypocrite, right? I'm functioning in a capitalist economy and I'm a benefactor of that. But that shouldn't be without some regulation. It shouldn't be without some form of the government saying, hey, you can't have capitalism at the expense of the common good, right? And so we can get into later about like the nuts and bolts of capitalism. But I mean, for me, it gets down to that fact of like, if we're deliberating on what constitutes the common good, well, I'd hope that we landed on that, like feeding kids, right? Or making sure that people have access to not only healthcare, but to mental health services, especially in our schools. Public schools are a function of government, and government has a responsibility to adequately support and fund those things in a democracy, right? So to me, those things all line up. Would they line up necessarily in communism? They might, but it would be up to one person. That person referred to in communism as the dictatorship of the proletariat, right? And last I checked, this country doesn't have a dictator. Now, there are some critics of our current president saying he wants to. Yeah, for the time being, Jacob. I'm an optimist, though. Like, I still say, hey, it's not happening here, man. I mean, we had a revolution for a reason. I mean, we overthrew, you know, the imposition of having to, you know, send taxation to the king in England. And we said, no, we want to have freedom of religion. We want to have, you know, freedom altogether, liberty, right? And the opportunity to pursue happiness.
Yep.
Right? Those things are all part of being in a democracy. But democracy kind of organizes us differently than communism. Communism says there's a dictatorship, even if it's a really awesome dictator. Those things have not yet existed in my knowledge of history. Maybe we could talk about like King Arthur or like, you know, a particular romantic kingdom.
Yeah.
But in, by and large, centralized power, you know, has not gone well for the people. And in fact, history has taught us, has been overthrown time and time again. So I still think even with, you know, the critical moment we're at where we say, well, we're kind of getting close to, you know, functioning like a dictator. You know, does this guy think he's a dictator? I would still say no. We're still part of a democracy. We're just struggling on how we land on what constitutes the common good. So we got Tim here. Tim, you're back.
Hey, I'm back. It must be one of the, you know, it's a rest station on Interstate 70, just to give everybody an update. Yeah, heading out of Ohio. But, Johnny, I'm glad, though, that the last time I was able to be talking to you guys, I got you launched into that civics lesson. I got to hear part of it, even though you thought you guys lost me. I was able to listen. And I'm telling you, you were dropping some truth bombs. And, you know, I think what's happened a lot nowadays is when you start to put together all of those things that you laid out, Johnny, the responsibilities, it becomes potentially tiring, you know, and maybe even frustrating because I don't get to get whatever I want. And, you know, and wait a minute, I might need to not get something so other people can get what they're supposed to have too. And I just think we're in the time in America, and this is why I love what we do with Busted Pencils here defending, you know, talking about democracy, is that let's bring this back because there's a real effort, I think, to tell people that democracy isn't worth it. It's not worth it. And, you know, that's where I say, hey, it's more than worth it, you know. And back to this gone. And in fact, how did Johnny and I know that? Because we're defenders of public schools in your local communities. And guess what? We got to say, they're the foundations of democracy in this country. And that's what we're here for. You know, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday is making sure that we're busting pencils, restoring democracy, defending democracy, instilling the values of democracy. And before I cut out again, guys, that's where I want to leave you. And thanks for hooking up with me on Interstate 70 on my way to my new home.
All right. Smooth moves, Tim. Keep up the good work. Be safe. And we'll get at you soon. We'll get you looped back in. But be safe out there and enjoy that. Enjoy that drive. Smooth moves, Tim. Well, Jacob, I'm glad we got to loop Tim into the discussion and kind of bring it back around to this idea, listener. You know, if you have a neighbor like Tim used to have, because we just alluded to smooth move Tim, that's a hint that his commute is actually a one-way move from Ohio over to Pennsylvania. I'll let him elaborate more on that as we have future shows. But Tim's old neighbor used to always say exactly what Jacob brought up. Like, Tim, aren't these ideas communist, you know? And I think that's more common. Like, we're making jokes about it, but I think it's common, that scare tactic, to kind of send a chilling effect that taking care of one another or to putting responsibility on the government to providing a base, a baseline, a safety net to what maintains common good, not only in the current, but for future generations. So I like that kind of that distinction for any listener out there. If you get confronted like Tim used to by his neighbor, say, well, that's communist, supporting public schools, you know, all those Marxist teachers. First of all, myth buster, there aren't a whole lot of Marxist teachers out there. But I would say defenders of future strength in our democracy. So to support something like strong public education, well, that's not socialism. That's not communism. That's strong democracy. And certainly it's akin to socialist democracies because socialism kind of assumes that the government has a responsibility to its people. Well, I mean, I kind of like that version of democracy. So I would say it's just core democracy. It's a strong democracy that recognizes both the popular sovereignty. We the people are the government. But there are certain things, like Tim says, that we can't do as individuals or even small groups.
Yeah.
And that's the function of government, to make sure we're safe, that we're making good decisions together, and that we're maintaining a common good, right? Otherwise, I might come up with some ideas that are good for me or good for a few people I know, or maybe good for my local, but at the extreme detriment of others. So government plays a responsibility of stepping in and having, dare I say it, some regulations.
I know.
That's the opposite of market liberals, right? They say deregulate the whole thing.
Johnny, the solution isn't government. Government's the problem.
Well, you know, Jacob, it's certainly, nothing is perfect, right? But it's in a democracy, right? That's where those three components come back together. We would say, hey, government is a problem right now. It's not really doing a great job of maintaining the common good. That's us with our right that we have a voice and that that voice is heard and valued. And it's our civic responsibility to say that, to do that, to say, hey, it's not working for us working folks. You know, we're not experiencing a level of common good that we deem to be acceptable. And regarding education, that's what this country in mass have shown in the last recent elections. You know, whether they voted for Trump or not, they by and large locally and across our country voted in support of public education, which those two things are kind of a contradiction, as we're seeing and as many predicted, and even, you know, Trump himself said, this is what I'm going to do to education. But our interests as people, as participants in this democracy, is in favor of public education. Well, you know, them's aren't communist words to support public education. Them's are democratic words, not the Democratic Party, but the democratic process. So there's a lot of untangling things to do. But, you know, I'm glad we can have a little class in session, pull it apart a little bit, extrapolate and expand on the ideas, Jacob. So I think that makes sense.
I agree. Johnny, I feel like we had a good talk today. Like we heard a lot of good things from Tim, man of the soil that he is, out amongst the people. And I think we got somewhere. Johnny, all I'll say is that I took a high school economics class. It's the only one I've ever taken. And what I learned there was that a pure communist system over here and a pure capitalist system over here do not tend to work very well, and that you need a little bit of both in a mixed economy. Johnny, that's what I've always thought.
A mixed economy, or as we've often referred to it as, like, you know, a socialist democracy would probably work as a great, like identifier of it, although that term socialist, it does send out the scare alerts. You know, but I think like a responsible economy. And I think that's where, you know, dare I say it, I find some common ground with conservatives. Whew, that's rare.
Scary. But you've scared me, Johnny.
But honestly, on the term conserving, like being, you know, one that conserves a strong economy, that sustains it, right? So a strong democracy certainly takes compromise and certainly takes, you know, a common ground around the common good. So lots of good stuff. We got to loop Tim in, you know, man of the people, salt of the earth, on, he said, I-70, trucking his way along from Ohio to Pennsylvania. We'll check in with them. You stay with us, Pencil Busters. We'll be back later this week. And now it's time for your moment of Zen. I had always insisted that a good education was a synthesis of book learning and involvement in social action, that each enriched the other. Thanks, Pencil Busters, for listening to today's class in session. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, well, you just go to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com or at our website, bustedpencils.com. And you can always find great Busted Pencils content like today's show on Mondays for homeroom, Wednesdays for class in session, and on Fridays for producer Jacob's choice. And of course, you can always tune in and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the civic media networks for 1 hour of your favorite of Blue Collar Scholars, Tim and Johnny, and Keep Busting Pencils.